This is episode 57 of the Great Speech Podcast on How to Communicate Effectively on Video, an interview with Diana Gladney.
Whatever is coming across the front of your head that you are thinking about, your why needs to be big enough to punch him square in the throat.
It's a Great Speech Podcast for the public speakers. We're going way down deep to look at what makes a communicator. We'll look at all different topics, from the bottom to the top. So get your mind free of all the distractions and please listen up.
It's the Great Speech Podcast.
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 Thanks, Dad. So welcome back, my great communicators. How are you guys doing? I hope you are well. I hope you are ready for another episode on communication and how we can all be better communicators. Because, of course, you know, that is the sole vision, sole purpose, sole focus of this podcast that I have now been doing for a pretty long time. I am Kolari Lishan, aka your communication super skills coach. And this week, I'm talking about how to communicate effectively on video. And if you've ever watched any of my videos, I put them out, I would say sporadically. I'm actually going to be doing a lot of focus on video soon, so there'll be a lot more coming from me, so look out for that. But if you watch my videos, once in a while, you will notice that the quality of the video is like exponentially better than some of my others. And there's a very simple reason for that. It's because I bought a decent camera not so long ago. And once in a while, I'll actually do the work of setting it up and putting it up instead of just using the webcam on my computer. And you can literally see the difference in the quality of the video. It's like night and day. And when I bought this camera, I did what all of us pretty much do when we're trying to figure out something that we don't know. I went to YouTube and searched for how to use this Canon M50 camera, which is the one that I bought. And there are loads of people that talk about it, but one lady in particular kind of stuck out to me, and she is my guest for today, Diana Gladney. Now, she's not the biggest star on YouTube. She's not the biggest star in this field, but there was something about the clarity with which she explained things that just fit exactly what it was that I was looking for at the time. And if you go to her stuff, like scroll down, look at the show notes, you'll see links to her website, her YouTube channel and stuff. She's got loads of resources, especially on YouTube, that really just explain things in the way. Like if you were trying to figure out how you would explain something that you needed, it would be exactly that. And I love the way that she broke things down. And so I thought I really have to one day get her on my podcast. And then we kind of had a mutual LinkedIn connect. And we connected that way. I asked her. She agreed. And so we did this interview. And it's a really wonderful interview. So I've got a prediction that she is really going places with her career, which is really all about teaching and helping people and coaching people on how to be great on video. And in this video, in this podcast rather, we really talk about all sorts of things related to that topic. Like what's the most important thing you have to work out before you start even putting yourself on camera? You know, what are the things you've got to look out for? What equipment recommendations and lighting and how to deal with titles if you're doing YouTube videos? She talks about how she deals with being an introvert, which I know will be really important and resonate with a lot of my listeners and you guys, because I know so many people talk about how one of the big challenges they have is that they're introverted. So how do you overcome that? You know, she talks about how long your video should be. And then we kind of touch on other things like why she loves Popeye's chicken, a momentous event in her life that kind of changed everything and turned her on to the career path that she is now on of teaching people on video. So it's a really good, I really enjoyed this interview. It's a little bit intangible in terms of why, because you know, I've interviewed loads of people that I really enjoy speaking with. But just from the first moment, I felt myself just intrigued by this young lady and how focused and how driven and how wise she is at, well, compared to me anyway, such a young age. So I really enjoyed this episode all around. I'm sure you guys will too. As usual, as I say, make sure that you subscribe to this podcast if you haven't already. Do a review. There's a review link you'll see in the show notes. And I always give a shout out to people if they do a review in the next episode after I see it. So do that. But really, I think you should just listen, take this in. And then when you start thinking about communicating on video, which all of us have to do nowadays because so much of our lives now requires us to be proficient online and on camera. I think this will be a really, really important video. Keep saying video. Really important podcast for you guys. So without further ado, here's me and here's Diana. Okay, welcome back, my great communicators. Hope you guys are well. And as I promised, I do have Diana with me on the line. Diana, say hi to everybody listening, please.
Hello, everyone. Good to be here. Glad to be here.
Thank you so much. So for a whole host of reasons, I'm excited about this interview. But let's start, as we always do, with the quote of the episode. And when I have a guest, I give that privilege to the guest. So Diana, what is the quote that you have for us?
Yes, learn and do, which simply means that whatever you learn, actually go do that thing of what you learn. And when you learn something else, go actually do that thing. Because so many times people are trying to like, oh, I need to know something else. I need to know something else. When I figure this out, then I'll get started. It's like you will never have enough to get started or where you feel comfortable. You literally just have to take what you know and get started and learn and do. And that's something that I live by. And that's a quote that I use consistently that I came up with.
I like that. And so I was actually going to say, it feels like you live by that. I get the sense that how you've grown your work, your YouTube following, all of that has been from the, okay, right, let's just get on with it. Is that right? Or did you have more of a grand plan?
No, I would love to say, like, I'm definitely somebody that does not enjoy flying by the seat of my pants. But it's to a point that you want to be as prepared that should the plan change, you have some measure, some thought process of how you want to maneuver that or how you want to navigate that. However, it's just knowing that you may not be able to create a process and a plan for literally for everything to A to D, and then you want to keep going down the alphabet. It's like you need to take what you can and move, because everybody always waits for like, I'll get started when, or I'll do this when. And sometimes you run out of time and the when never happens. So, you know, the way that I can definitely have that play on words is have a win in life is I stop waiting for a W-H-E-N win.
No, I like that. And is that something that, you know, do you have mentors in your life that have kind of helped guide you to that? Or is that something that you have always had inside you?
I mean, it definitely helps when you have parents and a community of people around you that help to make sure that they're helping to navigate your life experience. So, you know, I absolutely have, you know, my mom and my dad that have been pivotal, but I also can thank my siblings because the things that they would do that you'd be like, oh yeah, that's going to result in a whooping. I'm not doing that. So you learn what not to do.
Yeah.
But it's been a whole stuff of having a good family and a good community around you. But when you become at the age of majority, you become an adult, to now when it's your turn to make the decisions and act on those decisions, to know that everything is your fault, all good and all bad and everything in the in-between, because then that removes you from, you know, the blame game, which then at that point you're waiting for somebody to fix things for you. And sometimes life don't fix itself until you decide to. And so I definitely had a lot of mentors, a lot of coaches, those that have been paid for and those that have said, I see something in you, even when I didn't see something in myself at times, to encourage you and guide you along the way, and then just listening to and doing what they actually say.
Mm. So why video? Why YouTube? Why the camera? I mean, it's so people very often feel apprehensive about putting themselves out there generally. And that's kind of doubled when it comes to putting yourself on camera. So how did you get started in that?
Kicking and screaming like everybody else. Was not for fun. Was not like because I'm like, oh man, I'm just going to be in front of that. Like, no, absolutely not. It was my business coach who I think it was like about the second coaching call told me that I needed to get started using video. And I'm thinking in my head, like, this guy doesn't know me. Like, he's tripping. Like, you know, I got these same 7 photos rotating on Facebook since Facebook started, saying, like, you know, update every 2 years. Like, bet you didn't see this one, or you just get into Facebook. Here's a new profile. But, you know, it never is. However, I recall from reading Think and Grow Rich, I'm a big fan of Napoleon Hill's work. Mm. Even outside of Think and Grow Rich, I think that's like on the, as good as it is, it's on the bottom total pole for like his greatest works, in my opinion, just for all the things that he's done. Mm-hmm. And so, but it's in that book that he talks about him meeting Andrew Carnegie. And when he was propositioned to do this research that would result in the Think and Grow Rich and the Law of Success and 16 Lessons book. So it was just like a split second kind of a thing where it's like, you're not going to get paid. You're going to do this for about 20 years. You're going to follow and study and learn the best lessons from the most successful men in the world. And it's just like, he gave him the offer, like, are you going to do it? Okay, well, in his mind, he's thinking, like, I got a wife. I'm trying to start this family. We don't have any money right now. And he's saying it's going to be a long time. It's like, I'm not going to get paid. How is this going to benefit me? But the opportunity made something more for him to just say, yes, Mr. Carnegie, and you can count on me. And that's what led him into doing that. Okay, that same kind of a moment happened for me when my coach said, I want you to do a video today. And again, I'm thinking
so
like
he didn't
this.
Even give you a like a
no, it ain't no in 30 days. No, it's I want you to do a video today. And so I'm thinking like, again, this guy don't know me. I don't take pictures. I'm not, you know, none of that. But I remember that story from Napoleon Hill's book. And I said, you know what? The last thought that I had before I said yes was, I didn't hire this guy for me to remain the same person. Like, if I was just going to keep doing the same stuff, of which is obviously not going to work, I don't know it, and it hasn't led me to success, then like the best that I know and the best that I've done has literally gotten me to today, and that's not enough. And so I was just like, I didn't hire this guy for me to keep being the same. So I was just like, I'm going to do it. And he was shocked because we'd had this conversation, like, I don't take pictures. I don't do videos and all of that. And he was like, you going to do a video? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do it today. He's like, you going to do it today? And I'm like, yes, I'm going to do it today. So that's how I got started in it. Now, it morphing over time into like teaching video, something totally different. It honestly was just an uncovering process of like, I already enjoyed tech stuff. Cameras and all that was not my gig at all. I was into computers and phones and stuff, but nothing to do with a camera. It was the process of me doing that video, and I had to do a 30 video challenge. That was just one of 30.
Oh, wow.
The first video just needed to be today. And so one of 30 started that day. And so in the process, I see this other guy upload a video, and he has at the time a DSLR camera. And I'm like, man, this look way better than anything else the rest of us are doing. I'm like, what are you using? He's like, a DSLR camera. I'm like, well, who's that? Well, where's that? You know, like, tell me what's the deal? Go to YouTube and start figuring out that there's a whole other sphere of like really good content creation. Like, you don't need a team. You can do it yourself. And I'm seeing girls that's doing makeup and all of a sudden their stuff looks great too. And I'm like, man, I could probably figure this out. But I ran into more problems than I ran into like tutorials and stuff on YouTube at the time that were actually good. So every new video I made led to a new problem. And when I found the solution after digging through 15, 20 pages on Google, going to Bing, to, you know, 20 pages in YouTube and just like literally piecing it and stitching it together, then I'm like, well, I'm going to make the answer so somebody don't have to try to repeat and hope to find the right stuff. And it just wound up being at the time my audience responded to the technical content that I was making more than like the business type content or personal development stuff that I was doing in it initially. And I was you know, transitioning more into that too. So that's how I went from don't want to see a camera or be in front of one to literally teaching other people how to do it.
Mm. What I love about that is that sounds like, because I could feel the kind of the realness and the authenticity of that moment. It sounds like that has given you an appreciation for other people who are starting and have that that nervousness about getting on camera. And you kind of are able to come from a position of, yeah, I went through it as well, so I know how you're feeling. Let's help kind of our listeners a little bit as well. So I'm thinking about doing video. I know I've got to do it. The world is getting much more online and video content and so forth, but I'm apprehensive about it. Where would you say I should think or start, or what should my mindset be?
If you're leaning that way, first of all, and that's the way people go, is they're looking at an opportunity. The opportunity doesn't matter. We pass by opportunities every single day. You know, literally, we pass up opportunities every single day. And 20 years later, you're like, oh, man, I should have did that. But it doesn't matter. Like, we're not changing our lives because in that moment we missed something else. Most of us, you just keep going on and missing stuff because opportunities aren't enough. Not for most people. And so you have to learn to do like this value way and metric, if you will. What I mean by that is, if you imagine like a scale, you have opportunity and then you have the why and the cost. So if I'm looking at the opportunity, for most people, that's not enough, because people say, yeah, I want to do this. I want to do it for my kids and blah, blah, blah. Your kids are beneficiaries of whatever goals and achievements that you have. But more than likely, to be very honest, they're not the reason why. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a conversation. You would have done it already.
Yeah.
You would have been asking, is this the right steps that I've been taking, or what do I need to change? It's a different positioning. So that's not the real reason. So you have to understand the real root reason for why does this matter to you? Why does this matter? And that why has to be greater than the fear. It has to literally be able to beat the bully up. And that bully is, I'm afraid of the camera. I don't take pictures. I'm super introverted. I have stage 4 endometriosis. I work a full-time job. I have all those things that were piled up against me. I don't know if I may get fired at my job for this or come under ridicule for this. And literally all those things happen, not getting fired. But it's just like, so you have all of those things that obviously are concerning, but you have to have a big enough why that's going to beat the bully up. So if you're thinking like, how should I, you know, start positioning this? You have to really understand and figure out a reason why you want to do this. Because helping people, because you like helping people, is not a good enough reason, because that's going to stop you. And like, the why has to be big enough to not just beat that bully up today, but when the bully comes back with friends, when the video doesn't do well, when you do get found out at work, when you do have the pit of your stomach drop, when you do have a headache, when you do, you know, going through the feelings of, I don't feel like it. It has to continuously beat that bully up until the bully don't come back as often, or at least in the same way. So that's the mindset that someone that's considering it, it's got to be bigger than just the, you know, positive, I want to make money or whatever. That's fantastic. I'm all for it. But you need to have something a little bit more gritty of the why you really want to do this. Now, for some people, that may be enough. But you need to identify what that is.
Mm. Tell me what's your why then, that kind of has helped you go through that process yourself and kind of come through it and be growing in the way that you are?
Because I almost died. Okay. Literally, I almost died. Like that. It's crazy because like, you could be in the car and somebody zoom right past you, or you almost stepped out on the curb and somebody flies past you. Like, man, you could have killed somebody. Like, could have and almost are two very different worlds apart. Mm. So I wasn't in the realm of could have. I was in the realm of almost.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And so what happened was I had to I'm constantly battling with stage 4 endometriosis. I didn't know that at the time. I just knew for 16 months, every single day, I had the worst and most incredible pain I've ever felt before in my life. And it was a daily thing. I hadn't started really getting started on YouTube, or I hadn't done any of that. I hadn't hired my coach or nothing. I just was starting to move forward in my career working at the bank. Okay. Well, geez, I'm just knowing, like, I don't feel great, and I'm feeling worse every day. until I'm taking like 2 Vicodin and muscle relaxer just to kind of get to a point that I can just be. And they'd be like, well, you know, you're not supposed to drive. And I'm like, well, who's going to drive me? Who's going to take care of my responsibility? You know, and I'm like, I have to keep moving forward. I have to figure this out. I'm thinking it's something, especially young, you're in your 20s and stuff. I'm thinking this is something like they'll figure it out and I'll bounce back. I went to so many doctors. I was at my last straw. Finally went to the last one and ended up having to have emergency surgery within a few days once he identified what it was. Surgeon gets in, he figures out there's a lot of complications of what's happening with this, has to go and stop another surgery, grab that surgeon to come in to participate on my surgery. So I wake up, I'm thinking that, you know, like ibuprofen, like you take it, it works, you back to your regularly scheduled program. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like that. And furthermore, this is going to be something that's going to be a challenge throughout life, you know? So because of that, going to work wasn't the same. I had to go to work early. I still had stitches. I'm walking real slow. And I was out for a month, literally on bed rest for an entire month, and it still wasn't enough. But I ran out of PTO. I didn't have no FMLA or anything else like that or whatever, because I'd literally just really gotten hired on full time at my job, even though working there for a few years as a temp. And so I'm going through this process and I'm like, well, crap. Work ain't the same. You know, the team meetings ain't the same. I don't want to participate in, you know, the fun game day. Because what would have been said if I had died? And that was my thinking.
Right.
What would have been said? I made a good peach cobbler, crack a few jokes, you know, play with my nieces and nephews. Like, I had done nothing. I had nothing to show for my life that I had lived, because I lived in the realm of one day, eventually, and all the rest. And so that, unfortunately, I hope nobody has to go through like a wake up call like that, but I was very much so wide awake after that. And the reason like why I pursue everything that I do with like a fiery and an intensity that I do it is because I'm reminded that every day after that day is a gift. I'm on round 2. I get another opportunity. I just don't know how long it's going to be. So I'm going to earn every day. And so for everybody, it depends on the what that thing is for them or the why it really matters to them. That's really going to fuel you. But that was my reason.
That's incredibly powerful. I mean, so when you're working with clients, do you concern yourself with their why? Do you require them to kind of tap into it? Or do you just kind of, hey, you need to have one, but move on? How much do you get into that yourself?
No, I actually don't take on like long-term coaching clients. Uh-huh. I don't take on a long-term coaching client unless you have that identified.
Right.
Because it's not going to get you through the hard part. YouTube and doing video, pursuing purposeful work, all this stuff is hard work. Mm. Otherwise, if it wasn't, everybody would just do it because it'd be easy enough to achieve. You know what I'm saying? And so it's like, no, it's cool and it's fine. And I'm all for the money. I'm all for, maybe you do want to be out there and be more popular. Go for the gold. However, it cannot be the primary reason why. It has to be more, because on the days when it's hard, you're going to quit. You're going to quit real easy. Or the day that somebody say something to you and you don't like the way that they say it, you're ready to fight. You can't fight everybody. So, I mean, some people may try, but, you know, it's like you have to be able to propel that forward. So it's not like I'm trying to quantify, is their reason why good enough? But they do have to dig deeper in the why they want to do that. And like I said, it can't just be some topical frou-frou. So I want to, you know, buy my mom a house. I want to do this. Everybody do. Everybody would like to. But what's the deeper meaning and reason why? Not that you have to uncover your reason for living, but it definitely helps when you can go a couple layers deeper and understand the why you're pursuing this. Because on the days that it hurt, you're gonna know it's like it's a stronger reason why than what I'm feeling in this moment.
Yeah, because that's what's going to mean that you have the commitment to go through those. The good times are kind of easy to go through, right? They self-sustain, but it's the tough. It's when you're not getting traction or nobody's agreeing with your message or, you know, all the difficulties that come along the journey. It's having the thing that sustains you through that. Kind of you're like, I believe in it, even if nobody else does, but I kind of want to see this through. Okay, so let's assume that we have our why, right? Let's, because that's, I can see the importance of that. What then would you say is the next thing that people should think about if they really want to get more better, more comfortable, get more traction being on camera, whether it's YouTube or anywhere else?
The biggest next step that you have to identify is the who are you specifically trying to target and what is their core and primary right now pain point that you're trying to address through your videos. So I mostly deal with education-based content. Maybe you're into real estate. Maybe you're an accountant. Maybe you're teaching something, doing something of that nature. So if you like have a gaming channel, it's like the same rules apply, just slightly different. But that's not usually like the who I work with. But you have something else that you're doing. Okay, well, for that person specifically, it's all kinds of variations of an accountant. It's all kinds of variations of real estate and the who you're specifically targeting. And I'm not just talking about demographics, but you really start getting into psychographics and really start to analyze where's this person coming from? Where are you meeting them? And why would they find your content? And you want your content to be a pain reliever. In order to do that, we have to understand what the root, core, and pain is for not just the overall channel, but even down to a nuclear level of that video. What's resonating with them about this video? What is the pain reliever sensation you want them to have back of watching it? What's the next thing you want them to do? But that's the first core reason, the who and what's their right now pain point.
And so one of the things that I find that people often struggle with is that whole my audience, because people often don't want to exclude people. It's, oh, my stuff is for everybody. You know, anybody's going to find this interesting. But there's a problem with that, right? Because, you know, I guess if you're trying to speak to everybody, are you really speaking to anyone? Is that something that people struggle with as well?
Absolutely. Because they are trying to get as much traction and attention as possible. You're trying to get the best success rates with what you're doing. However, like if we just like think about the things that you like and you enjoy, good, bad, or otherwise, I like to use simple stuff. Popeye's chicken here in America. Like yeah. Popeye's chicken. They are not catering to the healthy, conscious person that is concerned about, like, no, they like, what is the optimal, most best tasting formula of fried chicken,
right?
That's Louisiana based, quote unquote, or whatever that we can make. And what's tasting and complimentary sides and blah, blah. They only put the health facts up there because they have to.
Yeah.
They're not putting it up there literally because you're concerned about what you're like, no, otherwise you like, just no. So they have a target audience. Their target audience is not fitness buffs. It's not people that's into health. It's not. It just isn't. However, you take a look at a restaurant like Qdoba, completely different kind of theology around food and what they serve and the why and the who they're targeting and why this person would even show up. So the best places that you personally enjoy, part of the reason why you enjoy them so well, or even clothes, or certain shoes, is because they cater to a specific niche for the specific thing that you like. Because that's the reason why you like it and love it. And even your favorite movie, actor, actresses, whomever, you absolutely adore them or that movie or book. And somebody else absolutely hates it. But the target and the who and the why they're making that specific piece of content or clothing or product or whatever is for a specific person. So it's not about the who you leave out. It's really about making sure that you, when your person finds your content, when they find your brand, when they see what it is that you have to offer, they say, I've been looking for this. I have been searching all over. And like, I'm so glad that I found this specific thing or this specific content. So it's not about like omitting certain people. You will have people that find you on accident, may not be the target audience, but they selectively choose to hang around, and that's fine. But you want to niche down, which is the proper terminology that you'll hear thrown around as well. But you do want to specifically target a person so that everything of the how you're speaking to them, the what you say and the how you say it makes sense to them. The who's the main target here.
So I can attest to that, because I was literally on YouTube searching for how do I deal with this Canon M50? And you had a whole video that was, this is how you deal with this Canon M50. This is how you set up. And you kind of showed the screen and everything. They just literally babysat me through. So I want to give you a personal thank you for that moment.
You're very welcome.
Going on to equipment, when should people think about their equipment? As in, because I get a sense that people often think about that first. It's like, oh, I've got to get this right camera and I've got to get these tools and these lightings and stuff like that before the message that they want to share. But I'm assuming it is important, you know, to think about your equipment. So where does that come in? Where should we start thinking about what we're using to look our best on camera?
I honestly think people think about it from day one. You know, once they kind of muddle through some of those beginner things of who I'm talking to, what do I want to make, what are some video ideas and content ideas I have, how do I set the channel up actually, okay, now I'm ready to post a video or make a video, they automatically start thinking about getting gear then. They don't think about how do I structure the video or any of those. They literally go to gear. So it's almost at this point illogical to assume that it's like, no, go and make 100 videos with your smartphone first, even though I would advise that to an extent, because you don't really know if YouTube is really a distraction for you or video content in essence is a distraction for you compared to what something else you may be running away from.
Right.
Or thinking like I'm multi-passionate, and it's like, no, you're not. You're just full on the inside and all things look the same on the inside right now. So it's not until you start expelling some of that, then you're like, oh, this is just a weekend thing. This is not a full-time thing for me. I actually am more passionate about X, Y, and Z thing. So you don't know if this is truly something you want to lean all the way in for or what the position is. So you do need to make like 30, 50, 100 videos with a smartphone. I would say figure the audio out first.
Yeah.
Because most people let that slide first. They think camera first. Now that is a huge mistake. And it really needs to be audio first. Now, I know it's mostly teaching and talking about cameras and stuff primarily. However, audio is more important, because if it sounded like the wind is blowing and gale force winds and all this extra other stuff while people are trying to listen to this, they're tuned out. 3 seconds in, they like, oh, this is not getting fixed, I'm leaving. But they will forgive. It's a little too bright, it's a little too dark, or whatever the case, because audio by itself is a self-sufficient form of content. But we don't watch silent films anymore. Yeah. Not willingly. Like, it's not the it's not the main thing. So realistically, people are going to think about gear from day one, but I would temper that just to see, are you so frustrated with creating with your phone because you know you want it to be better? Then it's time to maybe start considering, now what's the system of gear that I need to get that fits what I'm trying to do? Because people are like, oh, I'll make YouTube videos. What kind of camera do I need? Well, what are you going to make? Or what kind of content are you going to make? I'm going to make YouTube videos. Too broad is not going to help you. And so they make mistakes in that purchasing, buying patterns at that point. But they're going to think about it from day one.
Yeah. So it's interesting. So I do a lot of mentoring as well. And a lot of times when you're speaking to kids and they just say, okay, so what do you want to be? What do you want to do? I want to be famous. Okay. Yeah. But famous for what? Like, what is it? I just want to be famous. Like, no, you're coming at it from the wrong point of view, because the fame cannot be the goal. Just as you say, the equipment can't be the goal. It's got to be a means. So it's got to be something deeper that you want to do. I'm assuming though, because people will still say, no, I want the equipment, that do you have things that you recommend in terms of equipment, camera, audio, or do you just kind of leave it to people to find? Do you have your go-to things or something like that?
Yeah, it's always going to be a baseline of equipment. Like, I can do a quick rundown if you prefer, but it's always going to be a quick rundown of equipment, which is at this point in where we are just in the world, period. We're never not going to see live video content be an aspect of online communication. It's just not going to happen. We know video is always going to be some form of that. And we know audio by default is going to be some form of that as well. So automatically you start getting into your audio, your video, and your lighting, and not necessarily in that order. And so it should be technically your audio, your lighting, and then the camera, specifically because audio you can fix today. And you can start with your smartphone. Any smartphone will do. Just use the rear facing camera because that's going to be best. But the audio needs to start first. So you need like three forms of audio. You need your podcasting or desk stationary setup, whichever one you're going to be doing more, where it's just attached to the desk or stays on the desk. You don't have to think about it. It can be USB. It could be something more analog. It kind of doesn't matter at this point. It's hard to find equipment that just is bad. Unless you're just trying to like, I got $5. What microphone can I buy?
Right,
Nothing. Save some more. So it's like, so you have that. You have like the lapel, the clip-on microphones when you want to be untethered from the desk or you want to sit someplace else or be out in a gazebo and record a video or something. And then you have, if you plan to do more on the go kind of content, like a shotgun microphone, you got the Rode video micros, you have the Movo VXR10 microphones, those little mini microphones that sit on top of the camera, most commonly seen with vloggers and stuff. So you can still have good audio. Those are those three primary types of microphone, but most people are going to need that podcast style desk microphone, or at least the lapel, just to navigate them through. Then I say lighting, because your time of day and the when you and where you're going to be recording may change. Most people don't have a whole office or a whole studio space section out for that. They got a piece of the living room, a piece of a corner of office space, someplace, something that they're using, or a piece of the bedroom. It doesn't matter. Or maybe you do have a basement area that you can turn into a space. Mm-hmm. All of those are fine, but you don't have guaranteed lighting that may be the same. And you get raccoon eyes if you're just using the ceiling lights, the temperature of those lightings, or whether they look warm or too cool and bluish. All this stuff starts getting really weird and makes you more frustrated the more videos you make. Mm-hmm. So lighting is very easy to fix. And no matter what camera you get, you still are going to need a competent lighting setup. So getting those, one, it's the most cost-effective transitional way. And when you buy the right stuff, now it kind of don't matter what camera you have, because you have something that will fit a system when you're going together. So that's how I educate my folks, is that you're going through and buying a system of gear that makes sense together. Gotcha. Versus just spot buying a bunch of stuff you see on YouTube and then get those emails like, man, I've been watching a bunch of stuff I seen on YouTube and I don't even know if this stuff worked together. And it's just like, some of it don't. Some of it does not.
Right, right. So audio, lighting, and then camera wise. And I'm going to ask you for your links and stuff to whether, you know, the best video for lighting or camera or whatever, because I know you've got some great stuff on that. So in fact, scroll down on the show notes right now, listeners, if you're looking for that kind of stuff, that will kind of guide you there. So one of the things that I know is also really important is, especially for YouTube content, but I guess even for content that you're putting out wherever, whether it's as a business, is the title that you use that will entice people to actually click on the link or whatever it is. Do you have any thoughts or views on to how to approach the title you use for your YouTube video or your content?
Yeah, and this is where a lot of people don't recognize this, but this is where understanding your target audience very deeply makes a whole lot of sense. And it goes into the reason why, and some of everybody has a YouTube account to where they're consuming and watching content. If you look at your history tab, there's a reason why you clicked on every single last one of those videos. And it's a reason why you clicked off of some of those videos that are back there in the history feed as well, because something about the title enticed you enough somewhere in addition to the thumbnail, the image that you see. It enticed you enough to assume that this video has your answer. And whether the assumption was correct that it does and it proceeds to answer that, or it piqued your curiosity and your interest around knowing or seeing or being exposed to something, then it did that job. Or it said that it would and it actually didn't. And no matter where you skipped and scrolled through the video, that person is not giving you what you thought you were going to get, and you left. And so the title comes in extreme importance, because if I say, and I know that somebody is struggling with what settings to use when you're first getting started on in video, then I may speak to where that person is starting. I love to address what I call like the elephant in the room, especially when it comes to like thumbnails, when it comes to the title of your videos, all of that, because when somebody's already thinking through, I have no idea how to set this up. It's really my first time. I may title that video something along, before you watch any other videos for video for this camera, watch this. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay. Or I may say the complete and full guide on how to set up your Canon M50 for video. So then they like, okay, because it's leading and assuming like this is the only video that I may have to watch on this subject. And I do my very best job to make sure it actually is. But if something may be another, what I call next logical question, the NLQ strategy that I teach, is that if it's something else and you're like, okay, well, I got the settings or I got everything dialed in, but how do I make sure it looks a certain way? That next logical question is, I'm already knowing what your pain point, your interests are, right, where you're at. Once you go through, so I'm saying, like, I will tell you up front, in this video, we're going to go through the menu and the settings for this, but don't freak out about, because this video is already going to be long enough to do this. But later on at the end, I'm going to go into showing you how you can get your video to look like the way mine looks, so you look natural, normal, and professional video. But for this one, let's go ahead and dive into the menu. Already a few things I've done something with that. So I know you clicked on the title. Like, one, I know why you were searching for something. Number two, I know why you're clicking on something. Number three, within the first 30 seconds or less, primarily less, I'm going to defuse you by letting you know I have you taken care of. You're good. I know where you're coming from. I got you. So we can go through this video content and you're waiting because one, you got the payoff of the what you thought you were going to get. And now I can lead them into the NLQ, which is that next logical question, and start keeping that person on my channel. It's easy to get people to subscribe. It's easy to get people to start just being like, oh man, I've been binge watching your stuff all day, which always happens when I get a coaching client. It's like, oh, I've been binge watching. Like, I didn't watch so many of you because you take care of them. So the title and the thumbnail, are you need both, are that first introduction to you and your content, or maybe a reintroduction if they saw something, but they weren't quite convinced. But it's that first kind of a thing, like, are you going to take care of me or do I have to go someplace else?
Mm.
You know, so titles are huge.
And what I like about that, the next, what did you say? Next logical question, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that because it feels like you're thinking about how am I going to take care of this person and make myself a trusted resource and kind mm-hmm. of so that they feel that, yeah, I can, I know what I'm going to get. And I feel like I should take more stuff because this person has given me what I need. How long generally, I mean, I assume there's no rule on it, but do you have any thoughts on how long a video should be, for instance, for YouTube?
Yeah, it's a popular saying around that, which is as long as it needs to be and no longer.
Yeah.
However, I would add to that in saying that it just needs to do the job for why they clicked. It's fine if you give them a little bit more, but definitely don't give them less.
Yeah.
But it needs to do the job for why they click. And most people lose their mind when they've, and I was so guilty of this. And those earlier videos, please don't watch them, nobody, but they're still available. And it's just like, and I was rambling for days. A 5-minute video that I would make today was a 28-minute video when I was first getting started. Because you think, I need to give you multiple examples as you're thinking in conversational terms, as if we're talking and sitting in a coffee shop or something, just hanging out. No, because they're looking at the time step, they're looking at their problem, and they also have their own time agenda. They ain't got 28 minutes if it don't take 28 minutes. However, a 57 minute video that literally, like I said, it walks you through everything for the many people like this is the best video and they get through the video. But if it only needs to be something short, and that's literally all that it needs to be, that's fine because you can always make another video on something else that may be related, but it's not the core reason for why they clicked.
You talked about your early videos and like, you know, and I always say, look, if your early videos don't make you cringe, then you waited too long before you started, right? But how long do you think it has, well, how long has it taken you to kind of, I guess, find your style, if that makes sense, you know, where you feel, yeah, mm-hmm. this is the way I am meant to be. This is when I feel most comfortable.
That's a really great question because it's always changing. Like I'm never satisfied. Like I'm happy with, but I'm never satisfied in a sense that it's like where I am now. Oh my gosh, the early days of me would be jumping on the roof, you know, excited that we've done this thus far. But the where I am now, it's like, yeah, that's okay. But up here in my mind, it's just like, But when we get there, now that's going to be something. And it'll probably just be a ever moving target, simply because technology changes and stuff like that. But I would say for real, though, I feel like I found my voice. It really feels like 2 years ago. Like that's what it feels like to me on the inside. It feels like 2 years ago where the vibe, the where I was at, and even I would even say somewhat like the confidence in the where I want to go and how I want to take things. Like I'm like, this is me, because so much of doing video, you're in a constant state of uncovering new things that you may enjoy or want to explore and see if you like or enjoy or not. And you're also in a constant state of discovery. And so the two are very different. Uncovering is just pulling the blanket off of something that was there that you didn't know. Discovery is literally finding new land, new territory of something like, wow, like I didn't think I would like that, but that's pretty cool. That's really neat. So because of that, it's like, I'd say like the last 2 years, like it was really like I felt it like this is me.
This and how long had you been going up until that 2 year point?
Oh goodness. I think this year makes 5,
right,
maybe 6 years from like day one of doing like literally my very first video ever. So like in June of this year, we maybe like may make 5 or 6 years or something like that, from literally that very first video with my coach. But that first year of videos was hell in a handbag, like rough. But I'm most proud of that first year because, and that not all those videos are on Facebook. Most of them aren't, because they were in a private Facebook group.
Right.
And just doing these videos consistently. So that first year of videos, not even like YouTube based, they were Facebook based and all that stuff. So I knew none of the stuff. So that's why I say, like, by the time I got to YouTube, then I'm like, now I really start learning over again. Mm. Like I just got barely dip your toe in the water.
And you talked about you kind of really got going when you had to find your why. So, and you, I think you talked about, you know, if I was to pass away, what will I have achieved, right? So now that you're into your stride, you found your voice, you're still discovering new territory. What for you is the vision for that? Would you say is where you're headed, or your success point, or what's kind of driving you now?
Same. Earning every day. It's right. The same. I have this insatiable hunger for achieving my life's purpose for work, period. Like that's like, it's the same reason. So not that like, oh man, because almost XYZ days ago, or like, I don't keep a timetable like that, but it is literally like, what is the greatest belief, thinking, anything that I can think of that I can achieve, and pursuant of that, that is what I believe part of my purpose for work. And I believe that all of us have a purpose. We're all created for a reason. We all have a purpose in life. Now, when you are just struggling and like you feel so deeply about something, you say, man, somebody ought to do something about that. Or, man, that's not right. Like, and you feel like it is a volcano on the inside. It might just be you that's supposed to do something about it. So those things that I feel deeply about is, I believe that if everybody, there are a lot of great mediums out there. Podcasting, awesome. We have one. Blogs, awesome. We have one. You know, it's like being put in a written article in a newspaper. Did that. You know, that's fantastic. However, I believe video is the best form of communication and medium that we have today to share your message and your vision. And if more people leverage that medium, you literally, with a free Gmail account, could be global, have a global entity today. If you started sharing your message and your reason for why, the world would be a better place because everybody would be in their lane. And so my mission of the why, like I passionately pursue helping people learn this video stuff, get past all of this stuff and just get to work, is so that you can get busy doing what you were created to do, whatever that is for you. So that's my thing. It's like in-game strategy. I'm still imagining stuff every day. You know, I can see a 3-4 level tier building. There's just nothing around content, just everything around content creation, you know, from whatever the platforms of the day are, multiple, you know, studio layouts, taking care of my community in the sense, like literally building wings on schools, you know, taking, for example, like the local band and for at the high school or whatever, buying them all new instruments or paying for repairs for a year or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like whatever the need is for the stuff that I'm most passionate about, being not just financially free, but not just being time free, but actually being capable of doing that and pursuing my purposeful work of why I'm here. So that when it does come and I am on that last breath, I'm cool with it. I did what I came here to do. You know, that's what like fuels me literally every day.
Are you getting kids, younger people contacting you and telling you that they are either inspired by you or they consume your stuff or they found you? Do you get that now?
I don't know. Like younger kids, I do know people, like I've been on a call or something and they'll have like a niece, nephew, son or daughter that's younger. And they're like, oh man, we've been watching. And it's like, it probably is like, hello. So yeah, like, yeah. I'm still introverted. So it's still the words like, hello, how you doing? Yeah. You know, I have a lot of nieces and nephews. So goodness, I think like 20 nieces and nephews, like right. 3 great nieces and nephews or whatever. So, you know, bomb.com auntie, quote unquote, with because I'm doing YouTube, doing all this stuff. So, but I don't know, like ain't no kids running up to me in the streets or no stuff like that. But I've had my few instances and it does feel great, but that ain't the problem. Kids is like, you know, they're easy. Hmm. They're either minds are moldable. It's the adults that's like have the calluses that right, they have yeah. to self chip away at, you know?
Yeah, that's very true. I was actually going to kind of bring it to a different section of the interview, but I just heard you. I thought I heard you sneak in, oh, I'm still a little bit introverted. Really? Did I hear that wrong?
Yeah, I'm definitely.
How are you overcoming that? Because I mean, you know, to put yourself out there, not just being on camera, but you have to push it out there to the world, right? So how are you dealing with the introvertedness and having to, I guess, be kind of extroverted by putting yourself out there?
Day one is daily progressive steps constantly. And this is something I've been working in since 2010, actively working at since 2010. And again, I'm really, really grateful for my aunt that really, really pushed me. Like she was really the first person that really helped me break some of those barriers and just like heart be racing and pounding. It's like, go say hi to a salesperson in the shoe store or something, be like, why? And so yeah. It's constantly pushing those barriers. But, you know, I said earlier, it's about beating up the bully that comes and having like a strong enough why that can beat up the bully. And literally that may be going out to someplace public and making myself talk to 20, 30, 40 different random strangers of maybe just a, hey, how you doing? Or man, I love your jacket or whatever kind of a thing to just get used to it. And so even like with doing events and so like recently spoke at a social media marketing world, it's a huge conference. Cool. Yeah. And so I just got the final numbers for the room. They said something like 200 people attended the session I was at. I'm like, I didn't pay attention to it.
All right.
But at the same time, that goes from paying attention and doing the 10-person session and the 30 and the 50 and the 100 now to 200. Okay, you can't let up on comfort zones. And honestly, it's a part of how you recharge and it's a part of a comfort zone. So I have to be consciously aware. Am I really drained? And it's the right thing for me to say no to a social an invitation or something. Like I really need time for self because this is my battery recharging, or am I just kind of like, I don't feel like it or whatever. So I just ask myself, what am I going to lose out on or miss out on if I say no? Or is it going to hurt me if I say, yeah, is it that big of a deal? And sometimes it just literally is checking yourself and saying, it's not that big of a deal. It's an hour out with friends, or it's an hour, 2 hour dinner, such and such, no big deal. So sometimes it's just comfort zones, but yeah, I'm very much so still introverted, but daily progressive steps.
So your one message to the introverted person who's got their why, got a bit of equipment, and is about to put out that first video, what's your message to that person listening?
Whatever is coming across the front of your head that you are thinking about, your why needs to be big enough to punch him square in the throat. It literally does that violently. It needs to be able to square up and hit them in the throat. Because if you don't, and sometimes it's just the endless thoughts on top of thoughts that become mountains of irrational ideas and thinkings, that literally you're going to start that video and your heart will be pounding. My first several videos, I would get the same thing, like you maybe from the shoulders or waist up or something. I would be sweating, like the pits, the and all of the stuff, like just sweating from pure nervousness of doing a video. First time I did a live stream, pure sweating, just from just sincerely being their heart racing and all of that. But you have to keep showing up. Your why has to be big enough to punch that fear in, literally, as Sean Campbell would say, punch that fear in the face. But at the same time, you got to be strong enough to throw the blow.
Yeah.
You got to be strong enough to throw the blow. Everybody get position, proposition with a fight. But who's swinging first? I'm swinging first.
Right.
Because you're not going to win.
Love that. Love that. Diana, listen, that's been just superb on so many levels. I really appreciate it. And so, you know, I could go for ages, but I'm not going to take your time. So let us move into the kind of final section of the interview, which is the 10 question quick fire round. 10 random questions. There's no right answer. Don't need to agonize over it. Just tell us what your instinct is. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Question one. If you could record a YouTube video with anyone, living or dead, you know, past or present, who would that one person be?
Napoleon Hill.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. Okay, question two. On a scale of 1 to 10, how nervous do you get before a speech or a presentation?
I don't anymore. I don't anymore. I can sincerely say I don't get nervous.
That's just the doing it, right? The practice.
Yeah, it's like, if anything, I feel ready. And that's what I feel like. So I literally got asked that question when I did the social media today. It's like, how do you feel? And it's like, you feel nervous? And I'm like, no, I feel ready. I'm ready.
Yeah, love that. Okay, question three. Love, wealth, or happiness? If you could only have one, which one would it be?
If I'm wealthy, I'm going to find a way to get some love and some happiness. So I choose wealth. Yeah, I don't have a problem with love or happiness. So
cool.
I choose the money.
Cool. Okay, question four. A favorite book or album or movie or all three, if you know them?
In general?
Sorry, say again?
Just in general?
No. So a favorite book or a favorite album or a favorite movie or all three, if you know all three.
Favorite movie. It wouldn't be a movie. It'd be a cartoon series. Okay. So it'd be X-Men. Favorite book. Think and Grow Rich for that one. Mm-hmm. And then favorite music, I'd say Erykah Badu, one of her first albums that she had.
I've got a whole kind of university experience with Erykah Badu's music. Okay, question five. If you had to relive one day for the rest of your life, like Groundhog Day, what day would that be?
First day I ever touched down for like my first field show in college band.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Nice memory. Okay, question six. If you could only listen, speak, or see, which would you choose?
Jeez, listen, speak, or see. Speak. I take that back. I wouldn't say. Okay. Oh, gosh. Listen, see, or speak.
So there's something you
lose. I say listen. You can do hand. You can learn sign language. Listen.
Yeah,
I say true. Listen.
All right. Okay, cool. Question seven. If you had to choose one track, one song to walk out to, like maybe at the conference you're going to, what would that be?
Ladies First by Queen Latifah.
Nice. I've just been binge watching her. What's the series she's doing? The Equalizer. She's like,
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. It's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Okay, question 8. If you could live at any time in history, when and where would that be?
When I would say 2006. That takes me back to my high school graduation year. And so, because I'm like, if I took all my knowledge and stuff with me then, and then if I had started and just do it again and never know knowledge of what's to come, I would still say then, because I think I would make different decisions just if I thought about it again.
Okay, cool. Question 9. Would you rather go back to meet your great-great-great-grandfather or go forward to meet your great-great-great-grandchildren?
Forward. There ain't nothing good in the past for us to shoot. Yeah. No, I ain't hiding out in the barn like grandpa. Yeah. Didn't know.
Or if it is, that would be a quick visit in and out. Yeah.
No. Okay. Like, all right, good to see you. Take a picture for next time.
Yeah. All right. And question 10, which actor would play you in the movie of your life?
Angela Bassett.
Yeah, come on.
Angela Bassett. It doesn't matter, young, middle age, getting somewhat older, she's been a fire pistol. And I think she just embodies the Black woman role for any biopic she's ever done. So I think my life would be easy.
Yeah. And young, old, she looks the same. She's just incredible.
Exactly.
Just awesome. Okay, listen, thank you very much. That's the 10 questions. Gives us a little bit of a different insight into you. Listen, where should people go to find you? I know that people will want to go and consume your stuff like I have, like my daughter has. Where's the best place to find you?
It would be on youtube.com/DianaGladney. And then anywhere from there would be at Diana Gladney on socials and then DianaGladney.com.
Cool. And scroll down, you'll find all the links in the show notes. So I'm sure you will find Diana. I actually connected with you on LinkedIn as well, which is pretty cool. So I know you're there. Listen, thank you so much for that, Diana. I really appreciate it. I'm going to be listening back to it because I know you surprised me. I don't know, I shouldn't be surprised, but there was more. I was inspired by the depth of the why that you had, so that this became an interview that was more than just the technicalities, which I love. That's my favorite kind of interview. So thank you very much for sharing that with us. Final thing I ask is for you to say goodbye in a language of your choice, if you speak any other languages, or in English if you don't, or in slang, or in any way whatsoever, just to kind of see us out.
I remember this from a Spanish class. I don't speak Spanish, but hasta mañana, which I'll see you tomorrow, which invites them to come back to the show.
Absolutely. I love that. Hasta mañana, I think. Yes, indeed. Thank you very much, my great communicators, for listening. I know you will have got a lot out of that. So wherever you're listening, I hope you enjoyed that, and I will see you on the next show.